Luke 13, with all that said, Luke 13, look in verse 10. The Word of God says this, and it says, "And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bound together and could no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Now, Father God in heaven, thank you, Lord God, for the privilege and the honor of being in the house of God. Thank you, Lord God, for allowing us as musical instruments of men to sing the sweet songs of Zion. And thank you, God, for these that have come in, not to hear from any man but the man Christ Jesus. And we pray that'll be the case tonight. Pray, God, your servant will vanish and you'll, Lord, be seen. I be silenced and you'd be heard. Pray, God, that, Lord, I'd be still and you'd move around. And God, we pray we'd leave this place different than the way we came in. Pray, God, that you'd change us. Pray, God, it'd be a change. It'll show up till you come back and get us, and a change. It'll be for our benefit at the judgment seat of Christ one day soon, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Now, in Luke in chapter 13, here, 10 through 13, I want to preach a little bit on simply what I've entitled, Straighten Up. This woman came to church like most folk come to church. Now, you ever think about how most people come to church, really? I mean, when they go to church, they go probably about like this woman went. You know how she went. Can you just see her walking in? You know, I'm saved. King James Bible. You want to be saved? No. Not if that's what saved is. Listen, this girl here, she came in and here she comes and she's bowed down. She's bowed together, the Bible says. And man, 18 years she's been this way. And I just want to preach a little bit on straighten up, because you know what? When I read that passage, that reminds me of most Bible believers. Most Bible believers don't got no joy. They ain't got no jump. Amen. They ain't got no shine. They ain't got no shout. And something is real bad wrong. I understand a world that's lost being miserable. Well, why wouldn't they be? But you and I that are saved, you and I, we ought to be the exception to the rule. We ought to be the happiest people on planet Earth. Amen. My sins are forgiven. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Praise God. I got the pardon and the peace of God inside of my soul. And God's been nothing but good to this piece of dirt. Amen. Even with a stuffed up head and a messed up body and a crippled up thing from rolling cars and stuff, man, God sure is good to this piece of dirt. Amen. And I'm telling you what, if there ought to be a crowd that walks around with some joy, it ought to be us. And here comes this woman and she's just down. You ever met somebody just always seem like they got a glow about them? I mean, you ever meet somebody and you just want to be around them because it's like they emanate joy? It's just like they really enjoy themselves. I like that. Amen. I just decided a long time ago I'm going to enjoy myself in church whether no one else does or not. Amen. I was telling a preacher, this is just a beautiful picture. And remind me, I was preaching in a church one time in Strange Creek, West Virginia. It's a church that's got built in the 1800s, and they got pictures on the wall of all these people during the revival standing out, looking in the door, looking in the windows, and all the girls with their long dresses and their hats on, and the men with their hats on outside. Yeah, amen. And they're all peeking in the windows and lining up out that door, and they had all the original furniture in there, and they had a great big oak pulpit. I mean, the thing was probably like from here to over here, and I jumped, first time I'd ever preached there. They'd seen me preach some other church and said, why don't you come do a revival for us? And so I finally found my way there and walked over the creek and everything to get back into the woods to this church. Really, it was a blessing, amen. And I got there, I mean, they's modern by the time I got there. They just tore out the outhouses and put in two restrooms inside. I still do preach in churches with outhouses. Amen, I like it. Amen. And but I was pacing back and forth on this pulpit and pointing out at the people while I'm preaching. I'm pacing on this big old pulpit. Then I jumped down on the floor, and when I jumped down on the floor, everyone went like a gasp, you know. And I'm like, well, what's their problem? I know how to land. And after the service, they said, you wonder why everybody gasped? And I said, yes. And he said, come here, preacher. And it was over here. And he said, see all that? And I said, yeah. He said, that's a hollow. He said, that's a trap door. And he said, you almost landed on it. That'd have been something. I'm telling you, I would have walked different out. But in Luke chapter 13, she walked in this way. And that's about how most folk come to church. I mean, coming to church ought to be an exciting thing. Amen. I mean, you ought, of all the things that you could do, I hear these stooges when I'm away preaching and say, I'd rather be here than in jail. Well, I'd rather be here than just about anywhere but heaven. Amen. I never got over going to church, and I sure don't want to be one of them going in like this. That's how they go in. Straighten up. Straighten is right. It is upright. And the word up is, now this is deep, not down. Amen. So we're going to talk about straightening up here. Look at verse 11. The word of God says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. The first thing you see here about this woman is her condition. She had an infirmity. Now, infirmity is fault, weakness, defect, imperfection. It is problem. Now, who don't got some of that? And I'll tell you where ours is. Look in Romans in chapter 6. Romans in chapter 6. Ours, same place hers was. Romans in chapter 6. And over there in Romans in chapter 6, the Word of God says in verse 19, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. You know where our infirmities are? It's in our flesh. Mm-hmm. You know, I ain't got a problem with the inner man. You know, the inner man's never not wanted to go to church. The inner man has never not wanted to read his Bible. The inner man has never not wanted to pray. And the inner man has never not wanted to give somebody a gospel tract. Amen. You know who I have my problem with? I got a big problem. You say, who is it? Same problem you got, you. Amen. Yeah. And you know what? The infirmity, her condition was with her flesh. Amen. And that's where you and I's are. You go over there to Romans in chapter 15 and verse 1, you see the same thing. Romans in chapter 7, you're close there. You know what Paul said in verse 15? For that which I do, I allow not. For that I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I'm telling you, her condition was in her flesh. And you and I, you know what you ought to come to church this week for a revival? You know, you ought to come in and you ought to get straightened out. Amen. Wouldn't it be good to just get straightened out? Straightened up, amen. I mean, some people do come to church, just fired up, praise God, but then they leave the church, and I understand, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I understand that this world is depressing. I understand that this world will bring you down, amen. But you know what? They don't need to see that. They need to see you and I up. Amen. Not bowed down. And this woman, her condition, her infirmity was with her flesh, and that's where people got it with. No problem with the inner man. I'm glad for that. I'm glad God cut my flesh from my soul and wrapped the Holy Ghost of God around me and sealed me until the day of redemption. Amen. And I'm glad that there's a man inside of me that's not sinned for some 23 years. What a blessing. Amen. But then there's that guy. Well, that guy, he just, sometimes even when the truth sounds good, he just throw out a lie. Huh? That guy there, even when he knows he shouldn't look at that, he'll turn that way and look. I'm talking about that guy right there. I'm talking about that guy right there. He is the infirmity. Boy, we sure give the devil a lot of credit for something he never had no part in. Amen. I mean, most of our problem, the devil ain't even concerned with most of us, amen. He's concerned with this guy right here, amen. I mean, our infirmity, our condition is just like this woman in the flesh. Every problem you got, for the most part, is because of you. And you know what? Revival ought to be a time where you get that taken care of. And so we'll see how she got hers taken care of. You see her condition. In verse 11 of our text back here, look in Luke 13 again. Luke chapter 13. I'm talking about straightening up. Luke in chapter 13. There are a lot of folk need straightened up. I went over to my church here not too long ago and told them all to straighten up. Amen. My pastor graduated. And he graduated and went to heaven. And here we are now. And it just, everything's wrong about going to Columbus, Ohio without Pastor Hood not being there. Everything's wrong about going to Amazing Grace Baptist Church without Pastor Hood being there. And I stopped in there and I told Joby, he said, what are you doing? Are you heading back that way? I said, what am I going to do for 6 hours? There's no Pastor Hood. Amen. And you say, what are you talking about? Well, that's enough to make a man. Amen. See, that's him. But I got an inner man on the inside, and you know what he says? He says, whether they like it or not, just shout. Yeah. You know what this world don't like? You up. Yeah. You know where they want you? Down. Yeah. You know where the people you work with and all the folks around you, they don't mind you being like this. Why? Because if you're just like this, that's how they are all the time, and you ain't going to convict nobody going in around like that. Amen. I'll tell you what you do. You just go through some hell on earth, if you will. Everything goes wrong. Everything falls apart. Your life gets into shambles. You roll some cars. Amen. You get sick. Amen. You lay some bikes down. And then you know what you do. Just get off them things and shout. Amen. Amen. Just get up. Amen. Why? I refuse to let this filthy, ungodly Antichrist have his way. And that's what he wants. He says, I'm going to do it my way. I said, oh, you think so, huh? We'll see about that. I think I told you guys why I got my outdoor wood-burning stove, because he didn't want it. Really? That's why I got it. It don't make sense for me to be cutting wood the way I travel. You know why I got that thing? Because I prayed the day before. I said, now, Lord, this place is a dump. My furnace is a dump, a junkyard. It's just no good, and God, I need a furnace. I prayed that on this day. A fella called me up the next day from Tennessee. He said, hey, Earl, you need a furnace? Isn't that interesting how them things work? He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put you in an electric furnace with one of those them little boxes outside, give you air conditioning. My flesh said, yeah. And I said, well, let me pray about it. And that night or the next morning, I can't remember, a fellow from Kentucky called me and said, hey, Earl, he says, Lord told me to give you an outdoor wood-burning stove. You know what that is? I said, oh, yeah, I know what that is. He said, what do you think about that? And immediately my flesh said no. And I said, yeah, I'll take that. You know what your problem is in here, don't you? This thing right here. It ain't the devil. You know what you ought to do? Just be cuckoo like Paul was and some of us others are and just talk to yourself. I do it all the time. I walked in a gas station just today coming up here and I went in there all the way in there and I walked in there and I said, now, what did I come in here for? Wasn't that a blessing? I said, I bet you like that, don't you? I said, what'd you come in here for anyway? I know it was something for you. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying her condition was in the flesh. That's where her infirmity was. And listen, that was her whole problem. Her whole problem was her. And you know what your problem is? Listen, if you're saved, praise God, glory to God. I'm glad you're saved. I'm saved too. But this guy here, he ain't saved. And I long for the day that Jesus Christ comes and gets me so I can see that thing covered in worms. I always say to the Lord, I always talk to myself sometimes when nobody's looking. And I'll say, I hope I get to see the worms eat you from the inside out and the outside in one day. I hope you taste good to them. You say, why? Because I don't like him. You say, why? Because he's my problem. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Quit giving the devil all the credit. Because your condition, your infirmity, is that guy right there that you look at in the mirror. And you can put perfume on him. Amen. And you can dress him up. But everything that comes out of him is going underground. You say, why? He stinks. And that's her problem. Her whole problem is her. The condition. Luke 13, verse 11. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, bowed together, could to no wise lift up herself. She's bowed down here. You see, she had a condition, and then you notice it controlled her. See, this condition that she had controlled her. You know this verse, but look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 6. 1 Corinthians in chapter 6 and in verse 12, the Word of God says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know what he said? No one going to control me but Jesus Christ. John 8:34, amen. Hebrews 12 over there, it says, laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. You know what happens when you put a weight on you? You know why most people are bowed down? They got weights. They got sin. Man, you go piling weight on your back, you're going to walk around like this woman was. She's just bowed down, and you see her condition, and you see that condition controlled her. I mean, she's bowed down, and it's controlled her. It has taken her. I mean, me and a preacher, when we was eating today, was talking about that. People that just get, you know, that flesh ends up, that thing just ends up controlling them. Down in Tennessee, in the local jails down there, they got a bunch of meth labs spread out all over the place. And so what they do is all these people addicted to meth get in there. They lose their teeth, and, man, their life's a mess, and they look like they're 20 years older than they really are. They get locked up in that jail, and what they do is they're going through withdrawals after about a day. Some new fresh fella gets in there, so what they'll do is they'll buy his urine and drink it for the meth. You say, what are you talking about? That meth is controlling somebody. Had a fella on crack, got off crack, got saved, you know, got off crack, got hitched to a girl he shouldn't have got hitched to. About a year went by, and after that year went by, what this boy did is in the middle of the night, he got up and got the shakes a year off of it. Stole his new wife's car, went to the bank, withdrew all the cabbage, and went on a binge, a three-day binge. Blew $2,000 in money on dope and whores. You say, what happened? It controlled him. You know, it's amazing to me how many of God's people are under the control of things besides Jesus Christ? When you're under the control of something aside from Jesus Christ, it's going to leave you that way. I mean, we got a world depressed, down. I mean, just all continually, just burdened, if you will. And you know, just like this woman, she's got a condition in her flesh and it controlled her. We got people today, they are under the influence. Listen, I learned of a new one not too long ago, Craigslist. Now, Craigslist is a guy thing. At least a lot of the guys, my father-in-law introduced me to it, and it's a pretty appetizing thing, I guess, if you know how to do that. Because to some folks, you know, you've heard the thing, one man's junk's another man's treasure. Some of us, every man's junk's our treasure. And I got a 40x40 garage. And so I can store all kind of treasure. But anyway, get on there. And I met a fella in West Virginia, and he said, Earl, he said, I was so under the influence of Craigslist that I'd work and I'd have to go home. And he says, instead of getting a shower and getting ready for church, I had 15 minutes at home. Instead of eating, getting ready for church, I had 15 minutes to see if there's any new thing on there that I had to have. He said, so I'd get on, I'd go through this thing, I'd mark down numbers, and then I'd call on the way to church. You say, what are you saying? Oh, he had a condition, an infirmity, and it controlled him. You got Christians today, and they're down, they're discouraged, they're depressed, and They're hooked on cigarettes. They're hooked on booze. They're hooked on porno. They're hooked on lying. They're hooked on food. They're hooked on internet, fake books, cell phones. They're hooked on sports. They're hooked on hunting. Amen. They're hooked on everything and anything except what you ought to be hooked on. You say, what's that? Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, that's a good fix. Yeah. Boy, that'll fix you up. Amen. You see her condition, you see it controlled her, and if it's anything controlling you besides Christ, it's a weight and it's going to bow you down. Well, in verse 11 of our text over here in Luke 13, the Word of God says this. I'm talking about straightening up. We're going to see how this girl got straightened up. Luke 13 again, and look over here in verse 11 again. Behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. Bible says, no wise lift up herself. You know, would you say that this condition that controlled her might have complicated her life? I mean, think about this. The Bible says in James in chapter 4 and verse 14, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, if you're going to live a life down here with one shot to do something for Jesus Christ, amen, really that's what you got, one shot to do something for Jesus Christ. And life is so short, why would you waste it living like this? Like the rest of planet Earth, like the majority of so-called Christianity. Jesus Christ said in John 10:10, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. I'm talking about abundant life. How many people you met with that? I mean, they wake up in the morning looking for the book and looking for God. Yeah. And then they look for something to do during the day for their God. Amen. You say, what is it? I'm just saying that what a miserable way to walk around like that for 18 years. I can't imagine. I've been saved 23 years now, living 23 years this way being saved. People do it. She's got a condition. It controlled her. It complicated her life. I mean, you know what this girl wanted to do? Here's what she wanted to do. She wanted to do this. But she couldn't. Isn't that deep? All this girl wanted was to do this. She couldn't do it. And you know, I'll tell you when you'll get some help, when you realize you can't help yourself. See, that's where she had to get. She had a condition controlling her life, complicating her life, and she finally figured out, you know what? 18 years and I can't do anything about it. Good place to get. So what'd she do? I mean, she couldn't help herself, and guess what? Neither can you. I had to figure out a long time ago, I couldn't help myself. I'm so stupid, it's ridiculous. Luke 13, verse 10, it says, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. You notice, she come for help. Isn't that a blessing? Here she is with her condition, controlling her, complicating her life, and she finally came for help. She came to the right place. Amen. She come to a synagogue, and it just so happened Jesus Christ was there that day. Boy, that's a good time to show up. Amen. And she comes to the right place, and, you know, she came for help. Let me ask you something tonight, folks. And I know I'm asking the crew that is probably the, if you will, foundation of the church. But what'd you come for tonight? You know, sometimes you need to ask yourself from time to time, why am I going to church? You know why she came? To get help. You know why she came to that synagogue that day? She said, I'm going there because I need some help. That's a good reason to go to church, amen. And if you and I would come into the house of God, listen, every day we're having meetings this week, you come in, you say, you know what? I'm going in to get some help. You'd get some. That Bible says, according to your faith, be it unto you. Amen. And you come in with an expectation, guess what you do? You get what you come for. And this woman, she came for help. That's a good reason to come. You know, look in Luke 15, not too far from there. She finally got to the place where this guy did in Luke 15, verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, would you say his life stunk at that point in time? I mean, he's in the hog pen, right? His life stinks. He's come to the end. He came to himself. And you know what he says? I'm going to get some help. I'm going to the Father to get some help. You know, you ought to come for some help. Over there in Matthew and 15, look over there in Matthew 15. Well, I like how the Word of God, you know, all Scripture is given for our learning. And the most basic baby things he writes down in that book for stooges like us. Matthew 15 and verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She just came to him for what? For help. In Mark chapter 9, over there, same thing. Mark chapter 9, and over there, Mark in chapter 9, here comes Mark chapter 9 and verse 22, the Word of God says, and oft time it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You know, when a person comes for some help, well, God likes that. You know, sometimes I think we forget that God knows motive, of why you and I really come. You just come because it's Wednesday and it's revival time, you're supposed to come. Or you come for some help. What do you come for? See, I think that thing of motive is going to be a big thing at the judgment seat of Christ. What'd you come for? Why did you come to church tonight? Well, Mama and Daddy made me. Wrong answer. Well, my husband said I had to go. Wrong. You ought to come for help. And here she came. I mean, you ought to be able to get some help in the church, right? I was up at somewhere preaching, and a derelict was selling pumpkins out of his van. And I wondered where he stole them from. He didn't raise them. And he sold them out of the back of his van, 2 for $5. And I said, I'd like to witness to that fella. So 2 for $5, I didn't need the pumpkins, but I figured one of the girls would take them in the church. So I said, hey, I'll take 2 of those pumpkins for $5. And he says, okay, go ahead and pick them out. I said, oh, no. He's sitting in his van on his little baby phone, you know, because he ain't got a life. I said, you pick them out, and you load them, and then I'll buy them. And he says, okay. So he goes and picks them out. And then I had a plan. I heard Jack Wood say one time, always have a plan. So I've conspired this thing. So I got my coat on and got my keys in my coat pocket. And I said, well, just bring them around back here. We'll put them in the trunk. And I fumbled around like I was trying to find out where my keys were. You know, I'm digging around, where's them keys? And he's reading the back of my car. Yeah, good plan, amen. And then after I seen him get down to the last line, I said, oh, here they are. And I popped that trunk, and he put them in there. And I said, hey, I said, let me ask you something. I said, you ever been saved? He said, nope. I said, you know how to be saved? He says, yep. I said, tell me how to get saved. He said, you go to church. I said, wrong answer. I said, if you went to most churches in this town, the preacher couldn't tell you how to get saved. I said, but I'm going to tell you how to get saved. And I gave him a tract and witnessed to him a little bit and told him to come to church. And amen. You say, what are you saying? Even a lost person knows you ought to be able to get some help at church. How come it is they know more than the saved people? You know where you're going to get help? You say, my life's falling apart. My marriage has got problems. I got sin in my life. I got sin in my heart. I got sin in my home. What am I going to do? Go to church. It's not the end of a thing. It's the beginning of a thing. Most people end up in church after their life's just shattered. You got to go to church before it gets there. Amen. Amen. I'm saying she came for some help. And she came to the right place. You know, Jesus Christ said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Did it look like this woman might have been heavy laden? I mean, she's bowed down. She's got weights on her. she's heavy laden, and what'd she do? She's got a condition, a problem. It's controlling her. It's complicating her life, so she comes for help. Praise God. And then notice in verse 12 of our text, Luke 13, the Word of God says, "And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." You see Christ here. Now, imagine this scene. Now, I don't watch TV, so I can still, like, imagine things. I still got a brain. Amen. I'm not addicted to pictures. Amen. I don't know how to do anything on a phone but call and get a call. Amen. I don't know how to turn on. I don't even know. I go to my daughter's house to watch my grandbaby, and she said, "Papa, we're going to watch this cartoon." And I said, "Well," and I'm over there looking at the thing to put the little DVD thing in, and I'm like, "Well, Papa don't know how to use this." And she goes over there, boom, 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 "Here, Papa," and puts it all in. And so I can still think. I can look at something and then think about how it's going on. Can you see this picture? Here it is in a synagogue, in a crowded synagogue, and here's this woman back here like this. You think he saw her? I mean, a big crowd of people, and here she is, maybe in the back or the middle of that crowd, and she's bowed down like that. You know what Christ did? He called her out. He cared about her. He had compassion on her. In that big crowd of people, you know the one he called out and cared for and had compassion on was the one that came there for help. You know who gets help when they come to church? Those that come to get help. You come to church for any other reason this week, listen, I'm going to tell you something, you probably ain't going to get no help. She had a condition controlling her life, complicating it, so she came for help, and Christ cared for her and had compassion on her and called her out. I like that. You know, he did say, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you," in 1 Peter 5:7. Matthew 11:28 is still in the Bible. "Eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God still knows our down, sitting, our uprising, our thoughts afar off, and he's acquainted with all our ways." Psalm 139. Amen. And here he is, here she is in this big crowd of people bowed down, and I don't know, he called her out by name. I don't know what her name was, but he called her out maybe by name, and you know what? Here she is in the back, and she's like, "Really?" Glory to God. Ain't it a blessing when God still speaks to you? I'll tell you a good place for God to speak to you in church. Listen, when God's people come to the house of God and say, "God, I've come for some help," God will call you out by name. God will speak to you. God will help you. God will have compassion on you. What a blessing. Amen. That's how you ought to come to church. And she came and got the compassion of Christ. What a blessing. He cared for her. Well, I'm glad I got a God that cares for me. I woke up this morning in a hotel and I said, "God, you know all about this thing, don't you?" He said, he said, "That's a stupid question." And you know what's good? You can just pour your heart out to him and he just pour his out back to you. You say, why? Because he cares. You know how come it is when somebody gets away from God and ready to quit on God, they run away from church? They stop reading their Bible long ago and stop praying long ago, and one of the last draws is, of course, their heart left a long time ago. Body just ain't caught up yet. And they start coming to church for all the wrong reasons. But you ought to come for some help. And Christ will help you. Now, what'd you come for? You know what God knows? What's in your heart. You know when he said, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you," it ain't that he don't know what the cares are. The Bible says he knoweth what you have need of before you ask. It's just he wants you to pour out your heart to him. God, I got a problem with this. I got a problem with that. I can't like this woman. I can't help myself. It's got me bowed down. It's got me weighted down. It's got me depressed. It's got me distressed. It's got me just down. And nobody wants my God when I'm walking around like the rest of the world. Amen. And so, you see Christ. Boy, I'm glad he was at church that day. Most churches kicked him out. Luke 13, verse 13. He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You see, her cure was immediate. Bible says he laid his hands on her, and immediately. I mean, 18 years she was in that stead. Look at Matthew in chapter 8. Matthew in chapter 8. And over there in Matthew in chapter 8 and verse 3, the Word of God says this. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You know, you go through the Bible, you see that oft times. Look at Matthew 20 and verse 34. The Word of God says this. It says, so Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. Mark 1:31, Mark 1:42. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, you know, Romans 7:24 and 25. I'm saying that this woman, 18 years in this way, walking around with a condition that controlled her, complicated her life. She came for some help. Praise God. Christ had compassion and cared for her. Amen. And you see her cure. You know who can cure you? Christ. See, I couldn't cure myself when I was lost. Hooked on dope. Put the dope in front of me. I'd go maybe a week. Then they'd put it in front of me, and they'd put it in front of me. I couldn't push it away. I had to take it. They'd put that booze in front of me, and I might get off that stuff for 2-3 days, but they put it in front of me, I'd have to take it. And you say, what are you saying? When I got saved, it wasn't that way. When I got saved, no thanks. You say, how'd your cure come? Immediately. And I'm telling you, why in the world are you wasting your time? You trying to figure out how to get out of this. You can't help yourself, but you ought to come to the house of God. Listen, not only tonight, but this week, for the right reason, you ought to say, God, I just came for some help. Amen. I cannot help myself. I'm sick of being down. I'm sick of being depressed. I'm sick of nobody seeing God in me. Amen. Amen. You ought to come to yourself. You ought to come to the house of God for some help, and you ought to get a cure. I'll tell you, people ought to get cured in the house of God. Cured. Verse 13, you know what else you see there? He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. You see her countenance, her cheer. You say, what are you saying? She glorified God. I mean, she's happy. Listen, she probably went in like this. Down. She didn't leave that way. I mean, Jesus Christ cured her, and all of a sudden this woman that came in this way is straight, and after 18 years of going through that mess, and now she's shouting, now she's happy, now she's got cheer, she's got a happy countenance, a merry heart making a cheerful countenance, amen, Proverbs 15:13. I'm saying this woman left different than the way she came in. You see her change. You say, what do you mean? Let me ask you something. When's the last time you left this church changed? Huh? When's the last time you came to church, listened to preaching, and left this place changed? You know, if you've got to think any more than a minute on that, you've got rotten religion. That's all you got. Rotten religion. Hey, go join the Catholic Church. That's all they got. Go join a lot of other so-called Baptist churches. That's all they got too. But you know, she left church that day changed. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. You ought to leave church changed. And when you stop leaving church changed, something's wrong with you. Now, when's the last time you left church changed? Huh? You got to think on that long? I told you probably this before, but when Pastor Martin preached under my tent, I prayed for that meeting for, I don't know, a whole week. I thought, man, me and Pastor Martin under the same tent. He's 83 years old, old man of God, just a man of God. And when I got saved, he kind of took me under his wing right from the start. Amen. First graduating class down there from PBI, he's just a man of God. In fact, I think he graduated in 68. Amen. And then went up to his place, started a church in his basement, built his own church. He's a bricklayer by hand. Pastored the same church for 40-some years. Oh, yeah. Still preaches on the street in his 80s. Still fired up. Amen. What a blessing. You say, what are you saying? You know, I just don't see him down. You know what? I prayed for that whole week, and I said, God, do something for me. And I sat on the front on my little chairs there, and he's up there behind that pulpit, and he preached a message, and that message changed me, and I've not been the same since. You say, why? I went to church to get changed. Yeah. What'd you do? Got changed. What'd you do? Left different. And what about it? Well, it's still different today. It was real. You say, why? Christ cured me immediately. He helped me. Now, when's the last time that happened to you? When's the last time you left church changed? Now, let me tell you, here's where I've been trying to get all service, the whole service. Really, I could say that was all introduction. Really, my introductions are long, but my messages are short. Really, you know what this woman had? You see her crisis in verse 12. The Bible says, and when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. You know, Bible says he called her unto him. You know what her crisis was? Let me ask you something. Here's why most people never leave church changed. They never get no help. They come to church, maybe some for the right reasons. Praise God. I know there's some that way. And you know what? Christ calls them out and he speaks to them. Praise God that God still speaks to us. But let me ask you something. What if this woman wouldn't have come? See, she walked in this way. And she's back there in the crowd, and Christ spoke to her. And he called her unto him. And you know what she had? She had a crisis. She's back there in the crowd. Everybody's looking at her maybe, and she starts moving around. Excuse me. And she makes her, and she comes. And she comes down there to Christ. The Bible says he touched her, and immediately she was made straight. And glory to God, she left the church. Changed, amen. Why? Because she came. I'm going to tell you where I believe 99.9% of Christians blow it in the church. It ain't that Christ don't speak to them. It ain't that Christ don't want to help them. It ain't that Christ don't know where they're at in life. It ain't that Christ don't want them cares that they're going to cast upon him. It's just that when Christ talks to you, you're supposed to come and you're supposed to talk to him. He calls you out, you come. And you know what people don't do? They don't come. And so what do they not do? They don't leave changed. Amen. You understand that? The man with leprosy, if he hadn't come to Christ, would still be a leper. The man that was blind, if he hadn't come to Christ when he called him, would still be blind. This woman here, she'd still be bowed down. The woman with the issue of blood, listen, I'm just saying, there is something to the call of Christ and people coming to that call. She had a crisis. She had to admit, one, I need help. I can't help myself. But I believe he can. And so I'm going to come. And she came. And she left different. Now, let me ask you something. When's the last time Christ called you out and you came to an old-fashioned altar and got on your face before God and said, God, I can't help myself. I've come to church for help. You've said, cast all your cares upon you because you care for me. God, here I come. And I'm telling you what, that's how you leave changed. You know why people don't leave changed? They won't come. They won't come. He says, he that is athirst, let him come. Need some water? Come. He said, hey, it's free. Just come, amen. But God's people won't come. And you know what? During revival this week, when God speaks to you, if you and I will come into the house of God and say, God, I've come for help, and I can't help myself. God will minister to you and speak to you, but you need to come.